This is Culture Shift. I'm Rob Reinhart. So this Saturday, we'll present our annual Canada Day show. Canada Day is the Canadian national holiday celebrating the creation of a kingdom in its own right within the British Empire, pulling together the country on July the 1st, 1867. And on this Canada Day, I'd also like to note the 50th anniversary of a little thing called CanCon.
Spring starts when a heartbeat's pounding.
This is not some sort of convention for Canadians. The Canadian content laws, shortened to CanCon, were created in 1970 and put into effect the following year by the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission, the CRTC, or CRTC, to ensure that Canadian culture would thrive on the public airwaves. In 1970, the percentage of Canadian art to be broadcast was about 25%, but that has increased over time, now as high as 40% in some cases, and that has had a huge effect on those who are listening on this side of the border. That's us.
CKLW, the Motor City.
Remember, in 1970, most people got their music from AM radio, not FM. So for American music fans living near the northern border, CanCon was huge. Even though stations like CKLW trying to serve American audiences chafed against the CanCon rules, it was exactly that content that made those stations unique. Especially pre-MTV, border radio stations celebrating their unique artists are where we got to hear voices we would not have heard were it not for CanCon.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply.
Sweet! Sweet city woman.
One fine morning, girl, I'll wake up, wipe the sleep from my eyes.
By putting your hand in the hand of the man from the Galilee.
And I'm wondering where the lions are.
Tons of songs from the 1970s floated over our border. In the 1980s, they came a little bit harder.
So why don't you turn me loose?
In the 90s, it got quirky.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
But it was the world that was discovering BNL in 1998. We, basking in the glow of CanCon, knew of them long before that.
If I had $1 million,
I'd build a tree fort in our yard.
And by the early 1990s, after the decline of AM radio, but before the rise of the internet, CanCon laws were actually adjusted downward so that stations like 89X and The River could compete in Detroit. Of course, many Canadian musicians and bands had broken through before CanCon was a thing. Joni and Neil and The Band, Oscar Peterson, Maynard Ferguson, Gordon Lightfoot, the list goes on. But even that created a problem.
Tonight, the National Lampoon Radio Hour will only be 30 minutes long. In order that we may bring you, in its entirety, the Canadian show.
I call it the Canadian conundrum. At home, Canadian artists were often dismissed by Canadian audiences as recipients of special treatment. And at the same time, artists who did break through in the States, like the aforementioned list, were no longer seen as truly Canadian. And since American culture was so omnipresent, there was this problem too.
What was number one on the Canadian hit parade when Wake Up Little Susie was number one on the American hit parade? Who knows? But 6 months later, it was Wake Up Little Susie.
So CanCon was created 50 years ago to try to celebrate Canadian culture. It established the MAPLE system. The letters M-A-P-L stand for Music, Artist, Performance, and Lyrics.
Don't the hours grow shorter as the days go by?
M for music, that's pretty simple. Music composed entirely by a Canadian. The letter A for artist ostensibly is for Canadian artists. That one gets a little tricky. We'll get back to that.
I've got a smile on my face and I've got four walls around me.
The letter P is for performance, which means that a song has to be recorded in Canada, not a problem, or broadcast live in Canada. And for L, very simple. Lyrics have to be written entirely by a Canadian citizen.
You're really cute, I must admit, but I need something deeper than this.
Any two of the four MAPLE criteria will qualify a song to be considered CanCon. Let's go back to the A in Maple. The artist. Is the artist a Canadian citizen? Well, of course, an artist born in Canada is a Canadian citizen, but thanks to welcoming immigration laws in Canada, permanent residents, by the 1976 Immigration Act, they are also considered full Canadian citizens for the purposes of Maple. One example right there, the Somali-born rapper, poet, artist, and activist K-Non, who launched his career out of Toronto in the last decade. CanCon laws and the Maple system also fueled the rise of Canadian hip-hop as a global force.
Now the basin is clean to the gleam of the eye. You constantly lie when doves cry.
In the 70s, 80s, and 90s, getting the CRTC to grant a license to a black-owned broadcast company was nearly impossible. Commercial licenses were always awarded to country and rock stations, but in 1997, finally, the CRTC granted a license to Milestone Radio, which launched Flow 93.5 FM in Toronto a couple of years later. Now, a major station in a major city with hip-hop as their format was also using CanCon rules, giving rise to R&B and hip-hop artists Julie Black, Chaos, and by the end of the 2000s, Drake.
I got my eyes on you.
By the way, the CBC does an excellent job telling this whole story in great detail in a new podcast called This Is Not a Drake Podcast. I recommend.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
I should also note that CanCon laws apply to television as well, and often that has collided with music. These two characters were created by SCTV specifically to ensure Canadian content. CanCon.
Good day, welcome to our single. I'm Bob McKenzie, and this is my brother Doug. How's it going, eh?
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go.
And if that weren't enough, they brought along Geddy Lee of Rush to seal the deal. 30 years later, another Rush band member would turn up on another comedy show that more than met CanCon rules.
Most rock stars are supposed to be really approachable and really fun and easy to talk to, but for some reason, Alex wasn't. But he got pissed off at me saying, oh, you kidnapped me. It wasn't kidnapping, so if he's going to say I kidnapped him, I'm going to call him a male prostitute.
In 2011, Trailer Park Boys kidnapped Rush guitarist Alex Lifeson, which leads us to now and the entirety of Letterkenny, a Canadian production featuring tons of CanCon.
In the words of legendary Canadian singer-songwriter Alanis Morissette, you ought to know.
In the words of legendary Canadian songwriter Greg Keeler of Blue Rodeo, hasn't hit me yet.
In the words of Jim Cuddy, also of iconic Canadian rock bands Blue Rodeo, try.
In the words of genre-bending Canadian indie rock band Arcade Fire, wake up.
The 153rd Canada Day here in Detroit, we salute our neighbors to the north, east, and south. And salute CanCon, which has enriched our listening for 50 years. Thank you. For Culture Shift, I'm Rob Reinhart.